Okay, today's Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 18. And it reads, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some says John the Baptist, others says Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it.'"
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Steve. So this will be a sh super short, kind of more like a devotion than a sermon. I had a different thing planned yesterday, but kind of thought I'd switch to this now. Just it's a bit more appropriate, I think. And I guess we're together here for a pretty big day in the life of the church. It's never happened before, as far as I know. And we've never been in this situation before where we've had to think about on a big scale. Sorry, a bit distracted. Well, we've had to think about on a big scale what's going on with church. Like, my kind of assumption coming to church every week for years is just like church will be here, people will be here, service will run, all that sort of stuff. But what we've realized over the past year or 2 years is that that's not actually the case. Like, it takes a lot of effort, and if we get knocked down enough, there's the possibility that church just won't kind of happen like it does normally. So that's the context we're in today. And the passage I want to share about, I think, sets us even in a bigger context. So we're thinking church-wide here, which is big, but when Jesus and Peter are talking here, they're talking cosmic or universal. So Jesus asks this question of Peter, "Who do people say I am?" Which is basically the question of the Christian life. Like, whatever you think about who Jesus is determines your position in Christianity, whether you are a Christian and whether you follow Jesus or whether you don't follow Jesus. Was that a question, Sam? Oh, no, I thought I saw your hand up. Sorry, I thought it was a question. I was like, Sandra's engaged. Awesome. No, not engaged in the discussion. Sandra's engaged in the discussion. It's like, yeah. I'm throwing myself off. I got bigger scale, cosmic, universal. And then Jesus asks this question, "Who do you say I am?" And that's the key question of faith, right? Whatever your response to this question determines where you stand, if you're on Jesus' side or if you're not on his side. And the disciples say, all these other people say you're prophets. You're Elijah, you're John the Baptist, you're Jeremiah. And to some extent, it's true. He is a prophet. We've heard Steve talk about how Jesus is the prophet that comes after Moses. But it's not quite right. Not quite right in this context. Jesus then asks Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, "You're the Christ," which is a very big declaration. So it's not just saying, well, it is saying that you're the savior, but that idea of savior carries basically the weight of the kingdom of God on himself. And so in doing that, Peter says, basically, you're everything. You're the person that God's going to send to rescue the church. You're the person that is God himself. You're the person that Moses was pointing to in the past. You're all of those things. You're the Christ. And then Jesus says to him, "Because you recognize that, you're blessed." And blessed just meaning fortunate or happy or something like that. Because that type of knowledge can't be revealed to you by flesh and blood or by human thought or human processes, can only be revealed to you by God. And that's the first thing I want to set in context for us. If you're here and you're a Christian, which is probably most of us, you're not here because you're really smart or clever, or because someone like convinced you to be a Christian or anything like that. You're here because God actually chose you to reveal the truth that Jesus is the Christ, which is a massive truth. And then Jesus goes on to say, and it's a weird phrase, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So there's a bit of wordplay there. So Peter in Greek means rock. And then he says, so I tell you that you are the rock, and on this rock, a different type of rock, he's going to build the church. So what I think he's saying there is that Peter's confession is kind of indicative of the type of confession, the type of faith that Jesus is going to use to build his church. It's not that you have to say those words, you are the Christ, although you need to understand that and believe that. If you're going to be following Jesus, you need to understand who he is. But it's this type of confession that says, Jesus, you're absolutely the most important thing in all of the world that Jesus builds his church on. So implicitly, if you're sitting here, you to some extent are declaring that Jesus is the most important person in the world. If you're joining us at home, you're declaring that to some extent. And that's the type of confession and faith that Jesus is going to use to build his church. And what we've seen of his church over the past 2 years feels like it's very weak and crumbling and diminishing. But what Jesus says is that the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Hades was the place of the dead in Greek mythology or in Greek thought. And the gates of Hades were what kept the dead inside the place of the dead. So if you died, there was no escaping because of the gates of Hades. There was no escaping death. But Jesus is saying he's building a church or a kingdom that even if they all die, even if every individual in the church dies, even, I guess, if the church itself dies, Hades, the gates of Hades isn't going to keep it dead. It's going to overcome death. It's going to bust out of the gates of Hades, which was thought to be impossible. So we are talking today about how weak we are as a church. But Jesus is talking about how insurmountable, how unconquerable we are as a church. And I don't think we get to see that fully yet. The time that we'll see it is on Jesus' return, and we will see people bust out of the gates of Hades. All the Christians that have decided to follow Jesus, that have decided that he's the Christ, will bust out of the gates of Hades, and the gates of Hades won't be able to keep them in, and Jesus' church will be made. And the bigger context is that we're part of that church right now. Even though this church seems to be smaller and crumbling and not as big or as vibrant as it was, the bigger universal picture is that nothing will overcome it. So as much as we're going to be talking today about some, unpleasant thoughts, the overall trajectory of the church, including every member of this church, is totally defined and is unconquerable. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 16.